The following was recorded live from the sanctuary of Bethel, Tupper's Plains, Ohio, connecting people to God. Join us now for an anointed message from our pastor, Rob Barber.
Today I want to continue talking about fighting the good fight, but before I do, I want to mention January. This is when we always do our 21 days of prayer and fasting. We ask the whole congregation to get involved with that. You have to choose yourself how you're going to pray and fast. We are going to do a daily encouragement. I think we've decided we're doing Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Not every day, but Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. We have people who are going to do a encouragement online to encourage each and every one of us to stay on task with our fasting. There'll be a short teaching, and it'll be for the duration of our 21 days of prayer and fasting. So I just want you to be looking for that. That should start tomorrow on Monday, and then we'll do Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, and just we want everyone to be involved with this prayer and fasting. However, you know, some of you, I know you have restrictions, health, because of your health. There's other reasons that you may not be able to do full fasting. That is between you and God. Pray and ask God what He wants you to do. Many people in the past have just given up a single, like coffee or something like that for the 21 days. You can pray about it. Ask God what He wants you to do. But prayer and fasting, I will say this about prayer and fasting. People sometimes give up things like Facebook or TV, and you know that's fine. You can do that. But I will say this, biblical fasting is food. It has something to do with food. If you look and you go through the scriptures, you always find that they when they did a fast, it had to do with giving up some sort of food. Sometimes, you know, Daniel did a 21-day fast, which he only ate select foods. You know, other times people did complete fast. They fasted, like in the case of Esther, she fasted for several days. She and the people, the Jewish people, fasted for several days in order to see the God's hand move on behalf of the whole nation to save them. They did a complete fast. This is just, as I'm sharing this with you, I'm just trying to encourage you to take a look at the Scripture and see what the Scripture says about it. Hear what God is telling you. Whatever it is, that's between you and God. And please, just hear what God has to say and get on board with this prayer and fasting. I believe prayer and fasting is a key to the blessings that we get throughout the year, this prayer and fasting time. As we go through the year, we are blessed tremendously because this congregation makes a decision every year to pray and fast and seek the face of God. And God hears, and God responds to that. All right, so we're going to get that started tomorrow. Monday, we're going to start prayer and fasting. Hallelujah. Yes, be excited. I know some of you are thinking, oh no, I got to go home and eat a bunch now for tomorrow. You've already done that. You expected it. Yeah, that's true. Through the holidays, woo, we do a lot of eating, don't we? Praise God. Let's talk about fighting the good fight. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life to which you were also called and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Fight the good fight. In Ephesians, Apostle Paul describes six pieces of armor, combat gear, that we should take up. They're mostly defensive armor that we're to wear, put on every day. And he describes those, and he's describing them based on Roman armor, because when he wrote this, he was probably very close to a Roman soldier, because he was in on house arrest, and he was under the supervision of a Roman soldier, so he probably saw that those pieces of armor on a regular basis. Now, I'd like to say this about Otis and Ivy's message last week. I thought it was excellent. It dovetailed right into my message about the defensive armor that we wear, because the things that they talked about were more offensive weapons that God gave us, the spiritual gifts. These gifts of the Spirit are weapons that we can utilize and each and every day to defeat our enemy. And the armor that I'm talking about gives us protection as we utilize the weapons. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. We have mighty weapons. We just need to utilize those weapons. We need to know. So I'm going to be talking, I'm going to just pick up where I left off with this. Predominantly, the things that I talk about in this message are defensive armor. Fighting the good fight. That's what being a Christian is all about, is fighting the good fight. We're fighting this battle with an enemy that we can't see. And the important thing is that we make sure that we stay in the battle to the end. We can't give up. Stay firm. Stand. That's what the Bible is telling us in these scriptures that we'll be reading here in just a minute. In 2 Timothy 2:3 says this, "You therefore must endure hardship as what? A good soldier." We are soldiers. We must recognize that we are soldiers. We are, you know, the days of cruise ship Christianity, or, you know, taking it easy, laying back, soaking in the sun Christianity are over. I'm telling you, it's time to get serious about this walk that we're in, this battle that we're in. We need to fight this battle and fiercely contest against the enemy. Otherwise, the enemy is going to come in these doors, and I mean literally, and take away our freedom. We must contest against this enemy. We must do battle against him. And of course, we're not talking about physical battle. We're talking about spiritual battle. The weapons that we have are to defeat a spiritual enemy. And when we defeat the spiritual enemy, guess what? The atmosphere of the natural world changes. Because he's the one that is manipulating and controlling the situation. We either allow God to control it, or we allow the enemy to control it. We either get involved with what God is doing, or we sit back and allow the enemy to have his way. Let's not do that. Now, here's what we have to understand. That the poet Carl Sandburg once said, "There's an eagle inside of me that wants to soar, and there's a hippopotamus in me that wants to wallow in the mud." And that is true about us. We have this sin nature that wants to wallow in the mud. But we have this Spirit inside of us, the Holy Spirit, that wants to take us and cause us to soar on wings of eagles. He wants us to be able to accomplish great things for His kingdom, accomplish great things in our life, accomplish great things for our family, to be able to do the kingdom work that He has called us to. He wants us to recognize that we have the power. It's in us. And yes, we're doing battle constantly with the flesh, with the sin nature, but we can win. A man by the name of Tom Campbell was watching his barn burn, and the volunteer fire department was there trying to put it out. And Tom decided that he was going to call his insurance agent. So he picks up his cell phone, and he dials the number, and he got nothing but several rings, and leave a message. And Tom, in frustration, hung up the phone, and he said, "Why is it that every time I need my insurance agent, he's never around?" And suddenly he got a peck on his shoulder. And as he was turning around, he heard the voice say, "Because I'm here fighting your fire." His insurance agent was there doing a good deed for him. I'm sharing this with you because I want you to understand the Holy Spirit is with us. He's always there. No matter what it is that's happening, he's always there. You guys okay?
My mom fell, and she's at the ER.
Oh, okay. Can we pray for her?
Yeah, she hit her head on concrete steps.
What's her name?
Betty.
Okay, we'll pray for her right now. Okay. All right. Thank you, Father God. Hallelujah. We just lift up Betty to you, Father, in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We recognize, Lord God, that this was an accident. But Father, we're asking for your supernatural power, that the doctors would have wisdom and insight to be able to deal with this situation. Father God, that you'd touch Betty's body. Minister to her, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay, so the story was the insurance agent was there doing his job, actually, doing what needed to be done. And we need to recognize that no matter what we're going through, yes, you know, it looks like the circumstances are bad, you know, things are not necessarily going our way, but remember, you have Holy Spirit inside of you. You have the power of God. He's always there, present with you, always. Ephesians 6, beginning with 13. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the word of the and a sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying always with all prayer and all supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. All right, now we've been going through this teaching, and the first thing that I mentioned is that, first of all, we must make sure that we stand in victory. We've already won this battle. We just have to recognize that we're winners. We're victorious. So we are victorious, and our battle stance is one of victory. Now go back to verse 15, because that's where we're going to start today. Having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Now we've already we've talked about these other parts of the armor. We've talked about having truth, the belt of truth. We've talked about putting on the breastplate of righteousness. And now we're talking about having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Of course, the word feet in the Greek pos, it means a foot of a man or a beast. So we recognize that it is actually talking about having your foot prepared. Now, here's one of the things that in my studies, I found out that in the Orient, one of the things that the victor would do to the foe that he vanquished, he would bring the leader in and have them bow down in front of them, and then they would put their foot on their neck to show that they had control over that person, that they could do whatever they wanted to do. Sometimes they would let them live, sometimes they would not, depending on the situation. But they had complete and total control over that individual. Now, Paul alludes to this in the fact that we have victory in Jesus Christ. In Hebrews chapter 2, verse 8, it says this: "You have put all things in subjection under his feet." Now, whose feet? He's talking about Jesus' feet. "For in that he put all in subjection under him. He left nothing that is not put under him. But now we do not yet see all things put under him." Okay, now here's the thing. He put all things under his feet, and we are the body of Christ, right? So if it's under Jesus' feet, it's under our feet as the body of Christ. But he goes on to say, we don't see all things under his feet. Now, we're living in this natural world, and of course, we don't see everything as it should be. We can see governments, we can see individuals, we can see situations, we can see corporations, we can see all these things in our nation, in our world, that are not under the feet of Jesus as of yet, but soon they will be, I can guarantee that. Soon they will be. But we don't look at things in the physical, we look at things from a spiritual perspective. We look at the things according to 2 Corinthians 4:18. We do not look at the things which are seen, but the things that are not seen. The things which are seen are temporary. So what we're looking at all around, this is just a temporary situation. But the things which are not seen are eternal. So we're looking forward to the eternal things of our God and the power of Jesus Christ being completely and totally released in this world. Jesus is going to come back. He's going to set up his kingdom on this earth. And the kings of this world are going to become the kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus. He's the King of kings and the Lord of lords. So let's go back to Ephesians 6:15. And having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. How many know that having proper shoes are very important? You know, if you have any kind of foot issue, you know that proper shoes are extremely important. You know, I used to play basketball, and I couldn't wear these shoes playing basketball. I had to have the proper shoes. The right shoes, you know, basketball shoes. When I was a kid, it was Chuck Taylor's. That's the only thing we had. That was the proper footwear. Now, there's all kinds of different shoes that you can wear these days to play basketball in. There's nobody on the face of the earth has more shoes than my mother, sitting right back there. She has lots of shoes. She likes shoes, she likes shoes, and she likes pocketbooks. So she has this closet that's full of shoes and pocketbooks. But, you know, she also has some problems with her feet. And she has a hard time finding a shoe that makes her comfortable. So she's always trying to find something that's comfortable. I think it's a good excuse for her to buy new shoes all the time. But shoes are extremely important to us. Now, it says here that we're going to shod our feet with the preparation of the gospel. Now, shod is not a word that we use. That's an old King James word. It's not one that we use too often these days. However, if you happen to be a horse person, you've probably heard that word or been around horses. You've heard that horses need to be shod. This Greek word, it means to bind under one's foot, to put on shoes or sandals, bind on, put on. That's what it means. And to shod a horse, of course, is to an individual would take that horse, trim its hooves, and put a shoe on that horse. That's called shodding the horse. Fit an iron shoe on it. A farrier does that work. There's people today that they do that part-time. There's some that do it full-time. That's their job. Shoes for a horse make that horse a lot more versatile in riding. You can take it on a lot of different terrain. That's the purpose of having shoes on the horse. It allows the horse to stop and start and to get traction on various terrains. It also distributes the weight of the rider on that horse. It distributes the weight properly for the horse. So when the Apostle Paul is saying, shod your feet with the gospel of peace, the Apostle is telling us something that's very important. He's saying to get a firm hold on the gospel, because it will enable you to stand your ground. When you have a firm hold on the gospel of Jesus Christ, the gospel is the good news of Jesus Christ. It's the good news that Jesus came, died for our sins. The good news that we have a Savior. The good news is that we used to be destined for hell and we're not any longer. We have a good place to go. It's good news. It is really good news. I know we don't act like it, but it is good news. We sometimes fail to realize how good this news is. Otherwise, we would be destined to hell and separation from Almighty God for eternity. This is good news. Now, shoeing horses has been practiced for over 2,400 years. So when the apostle was telling us, he was talking about something that he knew about. He was talking about shod, get your feet covered up. Get your feet put in the proper boots, the gospel or the peace of Jesus Christ. Gospel is that good news. I said that. Peace is a state of tranquility. Now, here's something about once you receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you can have that state of tranquility in your life. Because we are no longer concerned with what's going to happen to us after we pass from this life. If you really grasp the gospel, you absolutely know that you have eternity with Almighty God. That's what the gospel is all about, giving you peace with God. Jesus came so that we could have peace with God and no longer separated from our Father. That means that we can have a relationship with Him here in this earth today. But more important to us for eternity is that we get to spend eternity with our God. From a Christian perspective, peace is that tranquil state of our soul because it's assured of salvation through Jesus Christ. This good news that we believe in, that we preach. How many have heard Mercy Me's song? It says, this news, this good news is the best news ever. It is the best news ever. Absolutely. It's the answer to our sin problem. It's the answer to mankind's separation from God Himself. The good news is this. Simple. Jesus came, died, came back to life, that we can have eternal life with Almighty God. Romans 10:5 says this, and how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring good tidings of good things. Flourishing, beautiful, it's flourishing. It belongs to the right hour and season. Now, I think that's really important. Your feet are beautiful as a believer in Jesus Christ because it belongs to a person who has good news. You're delivering good news. It's an on-time message for anyone who is separated from God. That's good news. Now, let's go back to Ephesians 6:15. Having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. The Greek word here rendered preparation is found nowhere else in the New Testament. It's rendered preparation. It means to be prepared or prepare yourself. We should be prepared to take the gospel wherever we go. But here's something I want you to look at. The context of this teaching that Paul is giving us here is more about the gospel of peace being a solid foundation to stand on and defend our position, defend our territory. If you go back with me to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 13 and 14, it says, therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand an evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore. See, that's the context of what Paul is talking about here. He's saying, take all these things and stand your ground. That's a defensive position. You're standing your ground. You're prepared for the battle. You're ready. Now you have all these weapons that God gives us to be able to use as the enemy comes toward us, but we, offensive weapons, but we stand our ground. And that's what Paul's trying to encourage us to do right here. Remember, part of the definition of the Greek word rendered peace is it concerns our assurance of salvation in Christ Jesus. It's the tranquil state of the soul, assured of salvation. So the first thing I want to share with you this morning, I want to make sure that we understand and we need to notice, is that the gospel brings peace. It brings peace into your life. You do not have to fear death. We are confident, 2 Corinthians 5:8, we are confident, yes. Well pleased, rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. We can be confident of this fact that when we pass from this life, we're going to be present with the Lord. That's what the Scripture teaches us. And we do not have to fear men, because what can men do to us, according to Hebrews 13:16? We can boldly say this: the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Amen. That's why we can stand boldly and proclaim the truth. In the face of opposition, in the face of all that the enemy can throw at us, we can boldly stand and say, Jesus is Lord of lords and King of kings. The second thing we should notice is when we shod or put on the gospel of peace is that we become sure-footed. And being sure-footed means that not liable to stumble or fall or err. You're sure in your position. Now, the first time I heard that term when I was a kid, my uncle had some horses and ponies. And he would always talk about, you know, some of those, particularly ponies, were more sure-footed than the other ones. You know, when you rode them, you were safer when you got on that particular pony or horse because it was a sure-footed horse. It paid attention to where it was going and where it would put its feet. Now, I have a picture here of Libex, and you can see that Libex is a pretty sure-footed animal. They're all over the side of that dam. And it's almost straight up and down. And I showed you this picture because they're some of the most sure-footed animals on the face of the earth. But that's how we stand. It doesn't matter what the terrain is like. We can stand just like that. We can be sure-footed. We cannot be concerned about the terrain. What we are concerned about is standing firm and strong in the Lord Jesus Christ. When the Roman soldier went into battle and he prepared himself, he had boots, caleglia. They were well-ventilated marching boots, had extra thick soles, but on the bottom of them were studs. They were called hobnails. And on the bottom of his shoes, it allowed him to walk on just about any kind of terrain and be sure-footed. And when he went into battle, when they were in the field, it allowed the Roman soldier, in fact, many battles were won because the Roman soldiers had these boots. They were sure-footed, even in the terrain where it was wet and slippery. They were more sure-footed than their opponent. They could stand and fight. The openness of that boot that the soldier wore allowed him to work all day long, march, stand for really long periods of time, and still his feet would not wear out. That was the kind of footwear that they had. They were designed in such a way that it didn't rub their feet. The caleglia allowed the Roman soldier to have sure footing on almost every type of terrain. This is why the Apostle Paul encourages us to put on the shoes of the gospel of peace. He's saying, shod those things on. Get them on, because it's going to allow you to stand firm. The Bible tells us to be prepared or ready with the gospel of peace, which gives us the sure footing. The gospel of peace is being sure that Jesus is our Lord and our Savior. The idea here seems to be come to mind. It's steady to keep us from faltering and falling. By means of the good news of the peace of the gospel, we are assured that we can stand. Romans 8:31, if you want to look at that later, it tells us that we can stand. That's extremely important for all of us, because we are in this battle. This is warfare. A wise general looks after his recruits, making sure that their footwear is very important. Listen, that's so important in battle, because the soldier uses his boots on a regular basis every day. They only use their weapons when they engage the enemy. But your footwear is used constantly. It has to be sure, has to give you sure footing. Weapons are needed not quite as often, but the footwear is. Now, there's one surface, though, that the hobnails was not such a good surface for. And they were not well suited for that. And that was a paved, smooth surface. Because when the soldier stepped on a paved, smooth surface, it was like being on ice with those hobnails. It'd slip and slide. Look at verse 11 with me, Ephesians 6. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Now, the wiles here, it means cunning crafts, deceit, schemes of our enemy. The enemy has schemes. And I think when I was studying this, I realized that, you know, the Roman soldier had to be aware of the kind of terrain that he was on. And if he was on some kind, he saw that ahead of him was some kind of a slippery terrain, a smooth surface, he had to be careful where he put his feet, and how he walked, and how he went forward into battle. I think the smooth road here, or the smooth surface, speaks of the schemes that the enemy tries to lead us into. The enemy tries to make things look smooth and easy. And if we're not careful, we'll get caught up in the smooth, easy road, easy path. But I want to tell you something. When you step onto that smooth, easy path, not long after that, you will slip and fall. The enemy makes the way look good. But the way of the Lord Jesus Christ, sometimes it's a little more difficult, but it's the sure path. It's a strong path. The Jewish chronicler, historian Josephus, writes about the 70 AD siege of the Jewish people when the Romans came and destroyed Jerusalem, destroyed the temple. But here's what he talked about. He talked about a particular centurion by the name of Julianus, who had seen his soldiers. They weren't fighting very well. They were kind of timid. So he jumped up and jumped across the wall and ran across the road. Now, here's the thing about the roads or the streets in Jerusalem. They were paved with stones. It was a smooth surface. As he chased about 10, 12 Jewish people who were running, Jewish soldiers who were running from him, and they were almost to a safe haven, he slipped and fell. And his armor made such a clamor that the Jews looked back and saw him laying there. And guess what? They ran back and began to stab him with their spears and their swords. And he fought valiantly, trying to fend them off. No one came to his rescue. And eventually, he just died right there. And it was because his boots did not do the job for him. He was on the wrong kind of surface. Sometimes we get on the wrong surface. We allow the enemy to lead us into the wrong path. We allow the enemy to make this road look real smooth and easy. But it's not. My admonition to you today is, as we talk about this, to be careful that you don't allow the enemy to lead you onto a smooth surface. In Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6, it says this: "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your path." Look to Him. Trust the Lord. Don't allow the enemy to lead you onto the wrong surface. In 1 Samuel chapter 5, the Philistines heard that David had become king of Israel. They didn't like this much. They didn't like David. So they all gathered at the Valley of Rephaim. That's the Valley of the Giants. And 2 Samuel chapter 5, verse 19 says how David handled this situation. "So David inquired of the Lord, saying, 'Shall I go up against the Philistines? Will you deliver them into my hand?' And the Lord said to David, 'Go up, for I will doubtless deliver the Philistines into your hand.'" David went up, and the Philistines were defeated. But the Philistines didn't give up there. They went back, got a bigger army, and came back. And they thought they would defeat David. They came back to the valley. And this time, it says in verse 23, "Therefore David inquired of the Lord, and he said, 'You shall not go up. Circle around behind them. Come up on them in the front of the mulberry trees.'" So God gave David a different path to defeat the enemy. Now, I'm sharing these stories with you this morning in regards to David because I want you to understand how important it is for us to inquire of the Lord before we make decisions. Do not allow don't fall into the pattern, "Oh, well, it worked this way one time. It should work this way the next time." Listen to the Lord. He wants to speak to you. If you're trying to make decisions in your life, I don't care what it is, inquire of the Lord. Find out what God has to say to you. Hear what He may tell you to come up from behind rather than to a frontal attack. But whatever it is that He tells you to do, listen to the Lord. It's imperative that you stand firm, but that you take the right path as you stand. God wants to order our steps, but we have to hear what He's saying to us in order for that to happen. Amen. Stand with me this morning.
Hello, this is Pastor Rob Barber. I hope you've been blessed by this message, because our desire is to connect you to God and His kingdom with anointed messages. If you have enjoyed this podcast and would like more information about our ministry, please visit our website at bethelchurch.community. And remember, love never fails.